beautiful words. And we thank you for coming to the hall tonight for this gospel meeting. It is normally a Bible study on Thursday nights, but tonight it's a gospel meeting for the preaching of the gospel. And that's for the benefit of those who are not yet saved. So if you're not yet saved, this meeting is for you. And it can benefit you. And one day, it will be your last gospel meeting. So listen as if this was. Listen perhaps maybe as if you've never heard it before. But listen as if you may never hear it again. It's a simple gospel. We try to keep it simple, and we base our words on the Bible. That's most important, that you hear what is in God's Word, because it's that that can assure you of the work of Christ, of your condition, and of your salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. So thanks for coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. Look to Thee for Thy blessing now. In this, the moments that lie ahead that have been allotted for the preaching of the gospel, we would pray for Thy blessing in it. We know that if it was just two men to speak, it would be senseless, it would be worthless. And though there could be, for certain speakers, an entertainment value, yet for many of us who are local, it wouldn't even be that. It would be sheer boredom, perhaps, and to no profit. But we would thank Thee that through the Spirit of God speaking and the Word of God, which are always to profit, we would pray that there will be a work done for God, and ask You that there might be a soul or souls saved for the glory of God. We likewise pray for them in Summerside tonight, and pray for salvation. And there, as they preach the gospel, we ask now, looking to Thee also for the efforts of Brody as he goes out to Burnaby, and with him there as they labor together, we would look to Thee for Thy blessing there, even going before to soften the ground that souls will be saved. We look to Thee for Thy goodness now, and when the meeting is over, if the Lord be not come to take us home safely, giving thanks for Thy Son and for the Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to the book of the Proverbs, please, and chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. Sometimes we choose very simple verses from the Bible so that it might leave an imprint in your mind. And though we could read in many different places to support our messages, sometimes there's a value in leaving the one text that is concise in your mind so that it will stick there. And that's sometimes why we select one verse or one thought. So our one text for tonight that I want to focus upon is Proverbs 14 and verse number 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just to make sure that is in your mind, I think we'll just allow it to go in our mind one more time. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man or a woman, a human being, but the end, it seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When I think of this first expression that we find in this, there is a way, I am reminded that we are all traveling human beings. This verse brings before us a traveling man. And it says here that there is a way that seems right unto a man. And I need just at the beginning of our message to remind all of our hearts that we are traveling through time. We are traveling through life. That's why the chart that hangs often behind us and sometimes is on the screen is very pertinent, because it reminds us of the two ways that the Lord Jesus spoke, a broad way on which we are born. We enter that and we travel that until we are saved. If you would like to know tonight where the Bible says you are, if you are not saved, you are on the broad road. You're on the road that leads downward to hell and to destruction. And you are headed straight for the judgment of God. But there is a way that the Lord Jesus spoke of that's narrow, that leads upward. So tonight, the gospel message in itself represents a choice. Once you hear the gospel, there is a choice that you must make. There is no neutral ground. And just to begin thinking of this verse, there is a way that seems right unto a man. I want to remind all of our hearts that we are traveling through time toward eternity. We are not standing still. We're not sitting. We're moving. And of course, when we think about that, it behooves us to think about the direction in which we are going. The chart that we often speak about and refer to, it almost seems as if the artist has depicted it well, that it is a downward way. There's a downward direction. There's a downward slide. And even the psalmist, he says, when he understands the way of the foolish, those who are not saved, he says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. It's almost as if there's a downward slide. It's almost as if the course of life and the onward rush of time is moving the soul onward to eternity. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to stay the course or slow the tide. We're traveling toward eternity. Now, as with any traveling person, it is most important to know where we are. So that as we think about this, even earlier in the chapter, if we were to read up in verse number 8, we would find the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. It's wise. A prudent person is wise to give some thought to the way that he is on. And so when it comes to this way that this traveling person that all of us are, we need to stop and think about the direction I'm traveling in. So what direction? Just to be absolutely clear, if you had your Bible and you had the two roads chart and you were thinking about it, have you thought about the direction you're going? Because direction leads to a destination. If I want to go home after this meeting, and I do, I would hardly come to the end of the Barclay Road and keep going straight and then go to Tim Hortons and turn left. It would be the wrong way. I might get to Alberton or Tignish or North Cape, but I certainly wouldn't get home. Direction is most important. But when it comes to the direction that we are going, really there is just going up. And there is going down. It's extremely simple. And it is not difficult to understand the direction. There is a prudence, there is a wisdom for every soul that hears the gospel to think about where they are going. What direction am I traveling? But also, just stop and assess what the odometer reading is. The distance. Not only the direction of travel, but the distance. I don't know if you're like me, but every time I get fuel, I have a habit that I picked up many years ago. I zero the odometer. And so you can actually fool yourself into thinking that your car or your vehicle only has 500 kilometers or something. Or perhaps if you have another vehicle, it might be upwards of 1,000 kilometers to a tank. And then you zero the odometer, and you can think once again, well, it starts out at zero again, and it creeps upward, and then comes the opportunity to zero the odometer, and the number zero looks good. But the reality is, what about the real reading? It's not the trip, but the real odometer. One of my vehicles has 188,000, I think it is, on it. My truck and the car, I don't know what it is. I don't even remember noticing it. But it's there. But I more often focus on the tripometer. Just what I've got on this tank. And maybe you look at year after year and you think, well, isn't it funny that we've gotten to March already? And before we know it, we'll be around the clock to Christmas again, the calendar rather, and we'll start at zero again. Wrong way to think about it, my dear friend. How many trips around the calendar has it been for you? And how many more do you have left? The distance we've traveled. But you know, there's something else this chapter brings before us. It says, fools, down in verse number 9, fools make a mock at sin. And there's something that happens every time we travel on a road, especially in the wintertime. And if you go into the country, into the West End, where there's lots of farms, there's lots of dirt that gets in your vehicle on the road. And sometimes we don't care that much. We get used to it. We get used to driving dirty vehicles until finally we can't stand it and we pull into Kendall's car wash and we put in the token, or we pull out the garden hose and we wash it off. And once again, it's clean, but before long, it's dirty again. Do you think that you can travel through life and not pick up the dirt and the defilement of the way? The proverb says, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. The guilt of sin is nothing to a fool, but not to a wise man. And so tonight, as you think about the direction you're traveling, and as you think of the distance you've come, and subtract from that how far you have to go in this life, and how close you could be to eternity, stop and think, my dear friend, about the dirt and the defilement, the guilt of the sins that you've picked up along the way, because that doesn't go away by itself. It doesn't fall off. In fact, as the old hymn has put it, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, I know I'm speaking simply tonight, but this requires simplicity. You and I are traveling through life, and I don't know if you know what road you're on. Thank God I know what road I'm on. I'm on the narrow road that leads to heaven. I don't know how far I have to go till I reach there, but I know the direction. I know the distance I've come. I know the moment at which I was saved. I remember the night when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all Him, not me. All what He did, His cross work. And tonight I know that the dirt and the defilement of the way that I have walked has been removed. It has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His cross work, and God says that's enough. God says that's what's required. Nothing more would do, but nothing less could ever be enough. That there is a way that seems right unto a man. So we not only have the traveling, but then we stop to think about the seeming right. And I want to remind all of our hearts that we are not only traveling men and women, but we are thinking men and women. Thinking. The implication is that the person stops to think at least to some way. Am I on the right path? Is there a better way? In fact, in the context of these verses and the verses surrounding it, more than likely it is the reality versus the perception of the unreality that is being considered. And sometimes we're looking for shortcuts and we're looking for bypasses to what the passage is presenting, that there is a work and there is a labor and there are auctions. And that's how things are built that are of quality. But when it comes to your soul and mine, there are no shortcuts. And there are no bypasses. And it is time for every single person in this meeting to stop and think. Be a thinking person. Because the passage alludes to this. There's a way that seems right. At least in some measure, the person is stopping to think about it. So when it comes to thinking, It takes time to think. Our lives are busy. I want to ask you, have you made time to think? Are you allowing the busyness of life and the complication of thoughts to crowd out the things that really matter so that you really don't take the time to think? The way that I am on, does it just seem right? Or is it right? Am I on the right path? Stop and think, dear friend. Above all else, if there's one thing I would like to impress upon my listeners tonight by the power of the Spirit of God, hopefully, is this. Stop and think about where you are, the road you are traveling, and where you are going. Does it just seem right? Or is it truth? Taking the time to think. But then sometimes we have the turmoil of our thoughts. And our thoughts get all jumbled. What happens when our thoughts get jumbled and we get confused? Do you know that there's one thing? That when we preach the gospel, we take it in our hands and we preach it. It is a light. It's truth. Mr. Brody reminded us on a previous night of the woman with the light and the broom as she's searching for the lost coin. And that's what we need when it comes to the turmoil and the confusion of our thoughts and we don't know where to turn and we don't know what's right. Where do we go for truth? Where do we go for light? Where do we go for clarity? Well, some people turn to a minister. Some people turn to what they've been taught. Some people turn to a sense of logic from within. Some people turn to what feels right, what feels good. But those are all deceptive things. They don't tell us about sin. They don't tell us about heaven and hell. They don't tell us about the guilt of sin and the work of the cross. But the Word of God gives us all those things. The Word of God gives us the plain and simple facts so that we don't need to travel the way and wondering, does it just seem right? Or is it right? Is it truth? For the turmoil of our thoughts, we need the clarity of God's Word, which is the light. And it is the truth. It seems right. But right implies true. True relates to truth. Can I ask you as simply as I can be tonight, where can you find truth? Because you can only trust the truth when it comes to matters of the soul and of eternity. Where can you find the truth? Where will you look for the truth? The Bible is full of truth. It is the truth. My word is truth. The Word of God is a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. It shows us where to step. It shows us where to move. It shows us exactly where to put our faith in confidence tonight. Do you want to know where to put your feet, spiritually speaking, in confidence? The Word of God is the lamp that shows you where to put your feet, where to put your confidence. And it's clear in its message. The Lord Jesus says, I am not a way that seems right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it says, there's no man, no woman that comes to the Father that makes heaven apart from Him, from the truth. So we are traveling people. We are thinking people. Please, dear friend, take the time to think. Don't refuse to think because the thoughts are awkward and they're frightening. Think it through. Get down to business with God about your soul and with the Word of God, thinking people. But in the passage, it almost seems to me that there are turning people that are implied. Because there's a turnaround. It says there is a way that seems right. But there's a turn that is there. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, if we knew somehow, if somehow we understood that if we left here tonight and before, if we were going out to the highway and we understood that at such and such a time, there was going to be a tractor trailer that would lose its brakes and go blasting through the turn, the roundabout at the corner. And it just so happened that our little vehicle and that tractor trailer were going to coincide. And there was going to be that sure death experience, that sure disaster. And if we knew the time, we would do our best to stop. We would turn. We would go another way. We would make sure that we were not at that place at that time. Because we would understand this. I wanted to go that way. I was even going that way. But that's the way of death. Can I ask you tonight? Is there a turn that is required for you? Is there a change that is needed in your thinking? Is there a but? I cannot keep going this way because that's the way to die and to end up in hell. But the end thereof, the ways of death, takes honesty and sincerity in heart. Now. Not tomorrow. It takes honesty and sincerity of heart to turn now. In this meeting, tonight, don't keep putting it off. The time for salvation is now. But when it comes to a turn, we have to stop and think about the holy standard of the judge in the end. Not just the honesty of heart that is required now for me, but think ahead to the end and the holy standard of God. Would you be willing, the way you are right now, to meet God and be judged by His holy standard? Or would you not have to acknowledge you're not fit to meet that standard? You can't do it. I can't. Neither can you. And the judge in the end is the one that will determine the destiny at the end of the way, ultimately. But you are choosing it tonight. Traveling people, thinking people, but turning people. It's the kind of people that find the right way, the way to heaven. Because we don't naturally start in the right way. And we don't naturally travel in the right way. My friend, there is a need for a turn in your life. Don't keep on going the way you are. And there is a hurriedness that is required because of the end. Oh, friend, think about the end and don't put off your salvation. But one more point. We're traveling people. We are thinking people. We are turning people if you're ever going to find the right way. Turn to Christ. But we must be trusting people. The man who thinks about his way and it seems right, he may tentatively carry on in his sins. Taking the shortcut, taking the bypass. The Lord Jesus says climbing up some other way, but it's not going to work. And tonight, what we would implore of you and what I hope that tonight in the latter part of the meeting will come across to you is the way that you can trust. The words of the Lord Jesus, I am the way, not a way, not one among many, singularly, He stands as the one door to heaven. He is the one means and mode to reach heaven. It is not the ways of death. The Lord Jesus said it is a way of life. It leads to life. It is to have life now. It is to receive the gift of eternal life. And that will only come and the peace that accompanies it. When I become a trusting person in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is my life. He is the one who died my death. He is my salvation. Oh, my friend, tonight, don't go the way that seems right. Don't go the way you've traveled, but turn to Christ and trust Him with all of your heart tonight. Because what He has done, His work, is the only thing that can save. That's what it says earlier, that it speaks about much increases by the strength of the ox. Oh, my friend, there's one who has accomplished the work. You can't do it. but there was one that was strong, and he gave his life to accomplish what needed to be done to save you. Trust him and become a confident, restful, peaceful, trusting person with confidence to face the future, knowing I'm on the road to heaven because my sins are forgiven. All is well with God. There is a way that seems right, but the Lord Jesus said, I am the way.